This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Congressman Waters, yes. While I have you, let me just pivot on to the question from April Ryan, right? Long time, well-respected White House correspondent. So she stands up in this press conference and she asks President Trump about concerns about inner cities, and here is what he said.
You look at the numbers in Chicago. There are two Chicagos, as you know. There's one Chicago that's credible, luxurious, and all, and safe. There's another Chicago that's worse than almost any of the places in the Middle East that we talk about and that you talk about every night on the newscasts. So we're going to do a lot of work on the inner cities. I have great people lined up to help with the inner cities.
Well, when you say the inner cities, are you going to include the CBC, Mr. President, in your conversations with your urban agenda, your inner city agenda, as well as
Are you going to include
the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional
Hispanic
Caucus?
Well, I would. I tell you what. Do you want to set up the meeting? Do you want to set up the meeting?
No.
Are they friends of yours?
I'm just a reporter.
Set up the meeting.
I know some of them, but I'm sure
they're watching. Let's go. Set up a meeting. I would love to meet with the Black Caucus. I think it's great, the Congressional Black Caucus. I think it's great. I actually thought I had a meeting with Congressman Cummings, and he was all excited, and then he said, oh, I can't move. It might be bad for me politically. I can't have that meeting.
So we know, and here's the tweet, Congresswoman, that you all have asked the president for a meeting. You sent a letter back January 19th, but haven't heard back. So where does this stand? Is the CBC meeting with the president?
I have no idea. And first of all, it was inappropriate for him to ask the journalist to set up the meeting. He should have an office that's organized in a way that he have people with certain responsibilities. That is not her responsibility to set up a meeting. But of course, they've been running this government children. They don't know what they're doing. And Keystone Cops in every operation that he's done. And so April does not have the responsibility to do that. Even if he wanted to do it, he'd have to send a formal, respectful request. Of course, I wouldn't be meeting with him, but some of the others would.
You wouldn't take a meeting with the president?
Oh, no. I've said that over and over again.
Okay. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat from California.
Send me an invitation, but I'm not going to accept it anyway. This is what we were talking about earlier, even with Megan Barth. Maxine Waters, what a misrepresentation of your constituency that you would not meet with, the leader of the United States. He is your president, Maxine Waters. Like it or not, he is your president, right?
Well, she is from California, so she might actually be representing her constituents, very well.
Well, it's kind of like Marco Rubio said. He said, look, he has to step back a minute and think, okay, well, he's, when people say things, you've got to step back and think, okay, well, I guess this is the way the people in Los Angeles talk and, the people that they, I don't think that that's the case. For everybody, and like anything else, you had President Obama saying that he would meet with anybody, any leader of the world, without precondition. And Maxine Waters doesn't want to, agree with that possibility. And, of course, she wants to take exception. Of course, the president was kidding. Like, he's going to expect the reporter to set up a meeting. He knows that doesn't work that way.
How well would me and you work together if I just decided I'm not picking up Bill Martinez phone calls?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And to come out and just say, oh, I'm not working with you at all, ever. Yeah, that's a foolish stand to take.
And talk about Keystone Cops and acting like children. Come on. It's always interesting. Again, this is something that I've realized, and I keep using this term, self-indictment. What people do, how they convict themselves, you don't have to say anything. Just listen to what they say and how ludicrous it sounds. Look, your job is to get the job done. Do your job, Maxine Waters. Do your job, Black Caucus. you know, get behind this president. We've got serious problems that are greater than the problems of the Democratic Party and your feelings. I am so sorry.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you tune in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, we're back with the America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, we'll remind you to go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email. Love to hear from you, good, bad, indifferent. Get involved in the conversation. Your opinion really does count here. We've got some great ideas coming down from a lot of our listeners. So keep those cards and letters coming in, as they say. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. It is time for Jordan Goodman, speaking of emails and all that, because he gets a lot from us as well. America's Money Answers Man, nationally recognized expert on personal finance for 18 years. Jordan was on the editorial staff of Money Magazine, where he served as Wall Street correspondent. Mr. Jordan, how are we doing, buddy?
Great to be with you again, Bill.
Hey, always good to have you with us. Janet Yellen talking with the House, letting the House know that, things seem to be getting better, and when it gets better, maybe it's time to raise the interest rates. Before we were talking three, I was thinking maybe two, three. You think maybe even four interest rate hikes this year, huh?
Yeah, at least three, and I think it's getting more likely that she's going to raise rates at the March meeting. She did not raise them at the February meeting, but I would say it's almost sure that they're going to raise them in the June meeting if she does not move in March. So I'm looking for a minimum of three interest rate increases this year, possibly four, depending on how the economy does. So that would mean, would they control what's called the federal funds rate, which is currently 0.75%, 75 basis points. So if they did 0.75-point raises, that would bring it up to 1.5%. And the prime rate, which is what we pay interest on, would go up currently 3.75 up to 4.5. And so that means credit cards and mortgages and car loans and student loans, all the things based on that prime, would be going up by 0.75% by the end of the year. We're still at relatively low rates, but we've seen the absolute low of rates back in 2016.
Well, and it would also seem that as opposed to what we went through in the last 8 years, where the Fed really played it safe, in fact, they printed money and basically carried the Obama administration, because we just stayed in doldrums here.
Right.
But I think the prospect and the hope with this Trump effect is that we'll, you know, maybe pay for some of those past sins. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the idea, is that under Obama, the Fed was pretty much the only game in town, because there was gridlock on anything with Washington after the first 2 years when he had a Democratic majority and he did Obamacare and Dodd-Frank. Last 6 years, pretty much he did nothing, Bill, because he wasn't able to do anything except through executive order, and all of those have been repealed at this point.
That's what happens when you spend your whole wad, right?
Exactly. But going forward, the Federal Reserve is less important, and what's more important is tax cuts, deregulation, infrastructure programs, bringing money back from overseas that's been sitting there for a long time. Right. And that's why the stock market's been doing so well, frankly.
Well, and it is an ambitious agenda, and Trump, in his first 3 weeks, I mean, there's smoke on the water here, and it's upsetting a lot of people. I mean, already we've had one casualty because you got the status quo not liking it, and they'll break the law if they have to just to let Mr. Trump know that, he's not fully in charge.
Well, I think he is fully in charge in various ways. Now, he may have some scandals at the White House level, but the reason the markets are doing well and the economy is doing better is because of the fundamentals of what we just talked about. Exactly. Now, one specific area you're seeing that is interest rates. Mm-hmm. As I said, I think the Fed's going to raise rates another three times this year. Mortgage rates, which started about 3.5%, something like that, before the election, right, on 30-year fixed, are now a little over 4.5%. They've moved up a full percentage point in the last 3 months or so. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to go higher. I think mortgage rates could go over 5% by the end of this year.
Probably now is the time to buy, move, right? You got to move. You got to.
Well, so that's
been saying
right.
This
so
for quite a while now. So,
so that's why you really want to move sooner rather than later, because not only are mortgage rates going up, but house prices are going up as well. I mean, you're seeing 5 to 6%, depending on the market, sometimes even more than that. And that's juicing the real estate market. So definitely, if you're thinking of buying a home, a lot of people are on the fence there. They're jumping off the fence and doing it now. The mortgage that I've used, which is what's called the automatic rate cut, or ARC loan, mm-hmm. And the website for that, arcloan.com, when rates ever go down, it automatically goes down. Mm-hmm. When rates go up, it does not go up. It's kind of a one-way street in your favor, I guess you might say.
Right.
And that's the one I've always had. So in the last few decades, we've had interest rates falling, they've been going down, mm-hmm. and then if rates go up, as they have been lately, it doesn't affect you. So that, to me, is the best way to get a mortgage on a new financing. Mm-hmm. Again, arcloan.com. Or refinancing, you can refinance from your existing loan. If you can afford it, going from a 30-year to a 15-year is certainly a better way, because with a 15-year, your payments may be a little bit higher, but you're going to save 15 years of payments on that mortgage. A website for that would be YouCanRefi, YouCanRefi.com, to get the best refinancing. I think the window is kind of closing on refinancings now.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people, unless you've been brain dead the last few years, you will have refinanced by now.
Right, exactly.
So I think there's still more to come, but very, very few people. You have to be, I would say, over 5% mm-hmm. on your existing mortgage now to make it refinancing make sense at 4.5% on a 30-year, 3.5% on a 15-year mortgage these days.
Yeah, so if you've been missing the bus all along, don't miss this one. This is probably the last one.
Correct.
In Clarksville, as they would say, right?
That's right.
Hey, speaking of real estate opportunity, I was just reading, Jordan, millennials not participating in the American dream.
Yeah.
They're happy to be living in mom and dad's basement.
That's part. We're renting.
You know, right? We're renting.
But they don't have that compulsion. I mean, there's several reasons. First of all, I want to be more flexible. Remember, it's the gig economy, and people move from one job to another, so you don't want to be locked into a particular house where you might not be able to sell it. Yeah. They're having kids later, so schools aren't as important to them as they had been in the past. I just think people want to put their money in stocks and things like that and not real estate. And real estate's been a very good investment for most people in the long run.
Right.
But I think for some people it makes sense. People got into bigger homes and bigger mortgages than they really should have. I think a lot of the millennials saw their parents burdened down by mortgages and homes they couldn't sell and they couldn't really afford. We had a huge amount of foreclosures, so you can kind of understand why they're more cautious on investing. My son, who's 27, mm-hmm. In the San Francisco area, no way he's going to buy a home. It doesn't make any sense. The houses are just insanely, ridiculously high there, and he can get a perfectly nice place renting, and he's very happy.
Yeah, the same thing with my son, 25 years old, in Huntington Beach, California. It's near prohibitive. I mean, unless he gets some big lotto ticket, it's probably.
And then you have to maintain the house even after you bought the thing.
Exactly.
How's it being bought by foreigners? People coming from Saudi Arabia and South Africa and Chile and Korea these days, because for average millennial people who have decent salaries, mm-hmm. housing is in many cases just out of reach.
Well, Jordan, the Trump effect is still moving along, but we're still keeping a close eye to China. I mean, it looks like you've got some potential bubbles here that are looking to explode. What do you see?
Well, China, I was over in China about a year ago, and I think it's the largest bubble in human history. You know, you think we have a lot of debt. We're up to almost $20 trillion in debt. Mm-hmm. Well, the Chinese have gone from about $3 trillion in debt in 2005 to $36 trillion in debt right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
did President Obama go and help them out or something like that? Because
no.
He knows how to spend money.
He does, but they're even better at it.
They're better than Obama. Maybe that was the deal. We didn't even know that they were competing against each other, and we missed out
on
that.
But what were they doing? You know, they were building these ghost cities, of which there's about 400 of them, these huge tracts of apartments completely unoccupied. They were building factories when they're not needed. They're building highways. Beautiful. I was over there. It's beautiful infrastructure.
Right.
But it's not paying off, and it was all done with debt. I mean, the way it works, if you're a local guy, you're going to get Exactly. Get a loan from your Chinese bank at 0% interest and just build to create employment for people, not because people need the real estate, but to create employment. Exactly. So I think it's the biggest bubble in human history.
Well, get ready for it. Jordan Goodman, that's a wrap. Tell everybody where they can go for more information.
MoneyAnswers.com. Get emails from your folks all the time. Glad to help them at MoneyAnswers.com.
The one and only Jordan Goodman on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
I guess that's the choice that we have, America. I mean, we can live according to the constitutional government that we have and that we've been blessed with, along with the other values that we hold dear to. Or we can, just be tossed around and, lose, subordinate our freedoms, our God-given freedoms and rights. It's your choice, and this is something that you make every day, and hopefully you understand what's at risk here. Sometimes I hear what's being said and bantered about in the marketplace, and I go, wow, do they really understand what it is that they're willing to give up so easily just with some simple words? Words have meaning, and they can be very powerful. Our next guest here, you talk about words, has put words together, but it's words that come from a lifetime of experience. And, you know, it especially stops you when it comes from that special place of one's being, because you know whenever you've been blessed to, what I say, kind of share space on hallowed ground. When you get to that personal level. And let me give you a little bit of background about our next guest. He was orphaned as a child alongside his four siblings. He went on to start a faith-based nonprofit serving orphans and widows because of what he experienced. And his childhood tragedy gave him an overwhelming understanding of the need to find loving homes for the world's orphaned and vulnerable children. His book is titled The Orphan, The Widow and Me, Paying It Forward with Both Hands. J.T. Olson is with us. J.T., welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you here to tell your story. And as I say, you have the sense, you know, in talking to you and in reading your book and what you share with us in your book, it's as if we're on hallowed ground here.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way myself. You know, I'm surprised that it's taken off so well. The whole both hands concept, but I should have known. It's like God winking at me saying, hey, JP, widow's an orphan. Right. What did you expect?
I mean, and here you are suddenly finding yourself along with, you know, your four siblings. You're orphaned. And so how old were you when this happened?
I was 12 years old.
12 years old. So what is your first thought after, you know, I mean, obviously you're grieved by what's going on, but then you somehow got to go on.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, you go on because you got people around you and family and a church community. And I was raised on a farm in Northeast Iowa, so there was a farming community that loved my mom and dad too, and they loved us. And it just, everyone kind of worked together to make it work.
So at 12 years old, where are you with the siblings, with the five kids? Are you the oldest?
No, I was the middle. I had a ninth grade brother, an eighth grade brother. I was in seventh grade. Had a sister who was in kindergarten and a sister who was 3 years old.
So you're the third child, right?
I'm the third child.
You know what that represents, right?
Tell me.
The third child is redemption.
Ah.
What does that tell you?
Wow. Wow, he's redeemed.
Yeah,
he's redeemed me and the whole thing.
You're redeemed to redeem.
Yeah,
this is interesting, you know, stuff. As you say, God gives you a wink, says, "Hey, look at what about, you know, widows and orphans? You are the son of redemption, JT."
Wow,
that's what that's all about. So, so here it is. So now you've got a loving community that comes alongside. And this is the thing that, you know, some people, because most of us, you know, we're outside of, you know, farming and this kind of existence. But the farming community, you know, is just incredible. I mean, you go back and you look at the history of the farming community, how they come together, and that's where you get barn raising and all those other things, those community efforts that come together that, well, I'll tell you, and also they know how to hold parties, right, JT?
Yeah.
And
sure.
Get-togethers. So
they know how to put on a potluck.
Yeah, exactly. So, because it's everybody pitching in, you know, for a common cause. I mean, there's so much that we can appreciate. And so you and your brothers were blessed. And I'm sorry, you said there were, it wasn't all five boys, right? It was four boys and a girl,
no,
was it?
Three boys and two girls.
Oh, three, okay. So your brothers and sisters, you know, you got to figure out what to do. So what happens to you at this point?
Well, unbeknownst to us, but I found out later that somewhere about 3 months before the accident, my mom and dad had changed their will, and my aunt and uncle, my mom's sister, had changed their will, that if anything would happen to one of the couples, the other couple would take them.
Mm.
So, you know, when you hear the news, your mom and dad had died in a car accident, Yeah. That's devastating. And the things that go through your mind are who's going to take care of us, what's going to happen to us. I mean, and naturally you think, are we going to be kept together? And then I found out that my aunt and uncle, who lived in a very nice suburb of Milwaukee, they already had three kids of their own. They took all five of us in.
Wow.
So I know what it's like to be rescued. I know what it's like to have someone come up in the midst of all that and say, we got your back. Yeah. We got you.
That's huge. Well, so here it is. Now you become a blended family, and you go through the rest of the life. So so tell us how your story develops into where now we've got both hands involved in this ministry that God has blessed you with and that you're blessing others with.
Well, it's funny how it happened, because when I tell people what I do, I help families raise money for adoptions by working on a widow's house, they always look at me with that kind of glazed look in their eye and, you know, a smile, and they're polite and say, oh, yeah, that's nice, but you can tell they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I find the best way to explain how it works and how it happened is to tell you how it happened. I mean, I was on the board of Bethany Christian, the local board of Bethany Christian Services here in Nashville, and my job one year was to do the fundraiser. And then I chose to do a golf fundraiser where we get, you know, 15, 20 people golfing, and they all send letters out to folks saying, would you sponsor me while I golf? And I sent my letters out like I was supposed to. But I had a buddy who I was in a Bible study with. He sends my letter back to me. And he doesn't include a check. He just kind of scribbled on my letter. He said, JT, if you told me you were working on a widow's house, I might sponsor you, but you're just golfing. Mm-hmm. Nice cause, but not my money.
Yeah.
And it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
Well,
but
yeah.
Because that was a good cause. I mean, we've been listening to women in crisis pregnancy, things like that.
And, yeah, exactly.
But it hurt my feelings, but at the same time, I thought, man, that's a good idea. You know, and I called him a couple days later. We talked about it and laughed about it. He still didn't give me any money, but, you know, the idea never left me. And whenever I saw a 5K or a golf tournament, I kept asking myself, if they were working on a widow's house, would that be more compelling? But I just couldn't figure out the other piece of it. I knew there was something. God was stirring something in my heart that there's something here.
Right.
Well, about 3 years later, I'm in church. I run into a friend of mine. Hadn't seen him in a couple months. I just said, what's up? And he says, I'm adopting four kids from Moldova.
Mm.
And he's got three kids of his own.
Wow.
And I said, wow, what happened? He said, well, I was over there on a mission with this organization called Sweet Sleep and delivered beds to orphanages, fell in love with this little 11-year-old boy. Throughout the week, we were inseparable, and I just decided to start the adoption process. And in that process, we found out he had three siblings.
Mm.
And Don looked at me and he said, and we're not going to break up the siblings.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the just right guy to say that to. Because
I know that drill. You've been there, done that. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I wasn't going to say, are you sure? I just thought to myself, go Don. And I remember looking at Don, and the thought that went through my head was, here's a man who's trusting God in a way that I envy.
Mm.
I covet that kind of trust and faith. And I just looked at him and I said, well, how much is that going to cost? He said, about $65,000. I said, well, you know, how are you going to raise that money? He said, no. And I said, I think I got an idea. And so we got together, put a plan together, got about 13, 14 guys. We all mailed letters out to everyone we knew saying, you know, would you sponsor me for the day while I work on this widow's house? And all the money that we raise is going to go towards the cost of this adoption.
Yes. Wow.
Well, and I found a widow in Nashville who needed help, got everything donated, so we didn't spend any money on supplies.
Mm.
And we spent the day working on our house. And when it was over, we'd raised $55,000.
Wow.
You talk about hallowed ground, Bill.
I bet.
When I felt like I was standing on hallowed ground.
Exactly. Well, JT, sadly, we're out of time. There's so much to your story. We got to have you back and talk more about the orphan, the widow, and me paying it forward with both hands. You can check it out. It's books available on Amazon, right, and all the usual places?
On Amazon, and a great place to go is BothHandsBook.com.
There it is. JT Olson. I'm Bill Martinez live. Thank you, JT.
This report is brought to you by Staples. It's Monday morning, and you've got a schedule full of meetings. But what if you aren't feeling well? Staples' 7th annual cold and flu survey reveals that nearly 80% of U.S. workers go into the office when they are ill, despite being aware of the danger it presents to their workplace. 73% of those surveyed also report that they caught a cold or the flu in their office last year, with nearly one-third citing their sick coworkers as the culprit. Chris Carenti, VP and General Manager of Staples Facility Solutions, offers some advice.
Staying home from work when you're feeling ill can often feel like a tough choice to make, but it's a necessary one. Not only are you spreading germs, but sick employees are generally less productive and can impact a business's bottom line. Cold and flu viruses can live on a surface for up to 3 days, so keep germs at bay by washing your hands and disinfecting your workspace regularly.
For more tips and resources, visit www.staplesadvantage.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME11 to 42424.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I comped Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. About 28 minutes before the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. We come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. By the way, the cards and letters coming in, awesome. I am grateful for your input. I've often said that the way we've been designed, God made it work just right, that not any one person has all the goods. We all have parts and pieces. It's almost like we're blind men feeling different parts of the elephant. But if we're not talking to one another about the part and, you know, that we're feeling and not communicating with the other, we don't even know that we are, touching an elephant, so to speak, as the old analogy goes. But this is why communicating is so important, and why I was just so touched and moved by the brilliance, I think, of Marco Rubio once again, and what he had to talk, say and share with us about the civility and the lack thereof here in this country in the conversation that we have in the public marketplace. I mean, you hear what's going on, all because of politics and all, and so much of this. And I think this is why you've got the back of one Donald Trump stiffening up, is because, what's the purpose of all this? And it's to delegitimize his presidency. And really, if you talk not only about his presidency, you really have to take it one step further. If it's not his presidency, the next step, and really, it's our government. I mean, people are talking about delegitimizing our entire government. Could you imagine the tailspin we'd be into? Well, I got to bring on my good friend Joe Messina, who happens to be with us. He keeps it real on The Real Side every night. He's the host of The Real Side radio show, nationally syndicated columnist as well. And he's had an incredible background that we can go on. Joe, and I don't know why, I didn't know that you came from Boston. How come we didn't talk about this kind of stuff?
You know what? You and I probably hit on it at a million miles an hour like we usually do. You know,
yeah, we get together. You know? Whenever we have a moment together, it's like our hair's on fire. No question about it. But, you know, I do want to say congratulations on your book, Ramblings of a Right-Wing Bible-Thumping White Guy. Now, are part of the, you know, the money and the profits that you get from it, are you donating it to the cause of reparation here or something? I mean,
Exactly. Yeah, reparation of myself. I'm making sure that I have, you know, clean underwear, pants, and nice shoes at times to wear
after
when I go out and about.
After all the hard work and everything that we put into these radio shows, you know, and but it is a lot of fun, and we've been fighting for the good cause here, and you know, you and many of us were at the forefront of you know, being the voice of the forgotten man and woman. You know, Main Street America had been left in the weeds here, but November they stood up and came out and vote and did their civic responsibility, didn't they?
Yeah, Bill, you know, it's funny how people don't realize what actually took place in November. The Democrats lost the lifelong union Democrat, working Democrat. And for them to get that far over the top, for the Democrats to come out and vote like that for Donald Trump, they were tired of the politics, and they saw. Remember when Donald said, hey, you've been voting for them for 60 years. Yeah. Try me. What's the big deal, right?
Yeah, what do you got to lose? Right.
Right. And I think they took that. I don't think it was just the black community. I think it was the whole Dem community who said, hey, he's right. We're losing our jobs. These industries are closing. Businesses are leaving. And this is the guy that this is the guy we need to vote for to see. Maybe we will have a chance. Get rid of him in 4 years if he doesn't do anything for us like the last guy did.
And my old mentor in Los Angeles used to tell me, Bill, your charm is only as good as your bottom line. And Donald Trump called the question on the Democrats' charm over, you know, the traditional union workers, the black communities, Christians of all faith and color.
Oh, yeah.
And they came out in record numbers to take a stand for this country. I mean, you know, Joe, I was just thinking about this morning. Where would we be if Hillary had gotten elected? Where would we be today, this far into her presidency?
Yeah. Well, you saw what FDR did when he thought there were enemies out there, right?
Yes.
You know, I was talking about this the other day. FDR is the god of the Democrats. Think about that. When they talk about a perfect president, a perfect administration, they talk about FDR. And FDR, he sent boats filled with Jews back to Germany, not specifically so they would be killed, but he sent them back knowing they would probably be killed.
Right.
The concentration camps or the internment camps, whatever you want to call them, they were still jails, if you would. They didn't just have Germans in them, people. They had Germans, they had Japanese, they had Italians, and they even had Irish in some cases. Mm. So, you know, apparently that's an okay thing to do when you're a Democrat, but if you're a Republican or a conservative, none of that is something that you're allowed to do. So you want to know where we'd be if Hillary was president today? We would be under big-time scrutiny, don't you think?
Well, no doubt about it. The first thing I think about is how many babies would not be born, additional babies would not be born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you take it from there. What would happen with jobs? We would have stayed on the same course the previous 8 years had given us. She had said that if you liked Barack Obama, you're going to love me because we're going to hold to those same policies, and the progressive movement would roll down with such intense fervor. You think the fervor now? I mean, right now this is almost like a death rattle that the Democrats are going through. I mean, with their last gasp of life that's in them, they can't help themselves. And in the process of this, Joe, the revelation, the exposure that they're putting on themselves, you know, whether you hear Maxine Waters or the ad of the Black Caucus, on and on. I mean, Cory Booker. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, Elijah Cummings. And, of course, you got to throw in Nancy Pelosi just for fun because, you know, she told us all about scapegoat, right? I mean,
yeah. Oh, that was perfect. But they're our dream team. You and I wouldn't have jobs if it wasn't for Pelosi, Wasserman Schultz, Sheila Jackson Lee, Maxine Waters. I mean, think about Elijah Cummings and Charlie Rangel. I mean, you throw people like that'll keep you and I busy all week long, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Chris Cuomo talking about how the president is unhinged and going, Chris, hello. Look at, we got a whole party over here. It's totally derailed, and they're burning themselves up. And it's like, oh no, let's talk about President Trump. You know, about him being unhinged.
Look, he doesn't fit the mold at all. As a matter of fact, he's making everybody crazy. Republicans don't like him because he's not going to toe the line. He's not going to do exactly what they want him to do.
Sure.
And Democrats can't stand him because he's nowhere near what they want. Do you remember Chuck Schumer a couple of weeks after he became, you know, the head of the Senate? I mean, the minority head.
Right.
Anyway, he came out and he said the only way we'll support Donald Trump is if he legislates like a Democrat.
And I'm like, he abandons all the people that elected him. Yeah, right exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of pills are you taking, Schumer? I mean, think about something. He actually went against the Republican principles. He went against all the Democrat principles. And what you think the right thing to do at this point in time is to go back to those principles that were rejected all across the country, right? They lost governorships. They lost full state houses. So I don't know. There really is, you know, Bill, there really is a sickness there. I used to not believe that.
You're exactly right, Joe. I mean, these are the same people that say every vote counts. It's so important. There's no voter fraud, all this stuff on. And they think nothing. They sit there and high five when an activist judge in California vacates 8 million votes like nothing in one signature, 8 million votes. And, you know, no big deal. It's like, oh, but vote. You got to protect these votes. They're so important. Such
no, they're not honest about it. And I knew they were in trouble when Nancy Pelosi was calling them low information. She was calling her own voters low information voters. These are what they used to call their blue collar workers.
Right, exactly.
Oh my God, they know they got a problem. They know big time.
And of course, Hillary just gave them a whole bundle of respect as well on her campaign, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but vote for me. Though you're a useful idiot, I want you to vote for me, okay? Why not?
Yeah.
Well, Joe Messina, who is heard every night. Joe, tell everybody how they can connect with you.
It's 6 to 9 o'clock West Coast. Head over to therealside.com. You can find stations and times there. Bill, always a lot of fun.
Hey, buddy. Always good talking to you. Author of the book Ramblings of a Right-Wing Bible-Thumping White Guy. Available at all the usual places, I take it?
Yep. On my website and Amazon.
There he is, the one and only Joe Messina. Joe, thank you so much. Always good to visit with you, buddy. It is just about 18. You got it. God bless you. 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, what makes it great? Are we the people? That's what makes it great, ladies and gentlemen. Just look in the mirror, and this is the legacy that lies before us, is the continuation of this great American experiment. And what will we pass on to our kids and our grandkids? That's yet to be realized, but a lot is moving, I believe, in the right direction to get this country back on track. Welcome aboard. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Tom Brown is with us right now. He is the former VP of Original Productions for Turner Classic Movies, where he was the executive in charge of productions on specials like Elvis, for example, Elvis projects featuring Priscilla Presley, Scotty Moore, DJ Fontana, George Klein, Joe Esposito, all these names that you've heard over the years, and the connection they had with Elvis Presley. And we're going to be talking about the Nashville Elvis Festival that's going to be coming up. Tom Brown, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. I'm doing well. Great to hear your voice, and I listen to your show a lot. It's great to have my voice with yours. I appreciate
it. Hey, I'll tell you, it's a pleasure. In fact, Lauren Kitchens, who you may remember, she goes, I grew up with Tom. We did things we can't even talk about. I said, well, hey, I don't want to hear about it. You know, it's a personal deal. You know what I tell you?
I'm telling you, one of the great ladies, and Tupelo's known for, you know, a little guy came from Tupelo named Elvis Presley that has a great singing voice. Lauren has a fantastic singing voice too. So it never ceases to amaze me. That's one of the amazing things about radio and Facebook and things like that, that we are finding so many connections with friends, you know, one friend away.
Exactly.
The world is smaller. In some ways, that's a bad thing, but in many ways, that's a good thing.
Well, they used to say 6 degrees, but now it's like nano degrees. You know, you're exactly right. We're just so close. Like you say, a friend away from meeting somebody that you need to meet or, you know, want to meet. And it's wonderful. And here we are, you and I, talking today about this Elvis Festival. So tell the good folks about what's going to be coming up.
Well, we're really excited. There are Elvis festivals that are held all over the world, and there are many countries that English is not even a third language, but they know Elvis Presley. They know his music.
Yes.
We were fascinated. My partner and I, Brian Mays, who we formed a company, and we said, you know, there are Elvis festivals all over the world, but there's not one in Nashville. And Nashville was such a part of Elvis's career, RCA Studio B. He recorded over 450 songs there. So many of the musicians that worked with Elvis and still are working live in and around the Nashville area. So we put together a festival at the end of March 30th through April 2nd, and we're bringing in friends of Elvis, people that knew him, that worked with him, musicians that worked with him, and we're also having a tribute artist contest. We're having a contest of some of the best guys in the world. We've got contestants from Australia and Canada and Brazil and all over the U.S. going to be competing, and we're going to send our winner to Memphis during Elvis Week in August. So it's got a lot of things going on.
Well, that's great. Well, I got to tell you, last time I went through Tupelo, in fact, I went to go visit, Lauren and her husband, Robin, and I was going there, and as I was going through Tupelo, you know, people were saying, I think I just saw Elvis on my toast. I thought, whoa, very cool. I mean, you know, no question about it. In fact, I was on the air in Los Angeles when we got the news, you know, that Elvis had passed, and then I went on to work for another radio station, and we used to do a commemorative every evening that was every hour. I think it went on for a couple of years there at KRLA in Los Angeles, where we dedicated an entire hour of Elvis music, and the request that we got, it was so popular. It's absolutely incredible, as you say.
And we're approaching in August of this year 40 years.
Wow.
2017 marks the 40th anniversary of the passing of Elvis, and 42 when he left us. And I was a teenager at that time, and I remember thinking, well, 42 is not bad. And then of course a number of years back, hit 42, and I thought, now this is what a life was. But here we are still talking about it, and that's the thing. The grandparents and the parents are this is Elvis is a member of the family that's kind of passed down from generation to generation.
Well, there's just something, clearly so gifted, and the way he passed, was it just too much? Was he just too close to the light of fame that like one of those bugs that just cooks themselves? You could spend hours, discussing, some of the psychological impact. But
And at a time also that, things like Betty Ford didn't exist.
Right.
And the problems that Elvis went through kind of alone. I mean, there were four Beatles. There were all these people that could lean on each other that were in bands. But Elvis not only wrote the book, he published the book on how to be a rock star.
Right.
And really, at the end of the day, kind of by himself. And, if things had been different, what could have happened to help him? I think it's an incredible learning lesson for a lot of people. And it still today affects people. But the music is the thing that just continues to go on. I mean, like I said, we've got contestants coming from Brazil and Australia that grew up listening to Elvis music. And it's as much a part of their lives. The country of Qatar in the Middle East sends representatives every year to Graceland during August because they have a fan club in Qatar to celebrate Elvis.
Now, what you're saying, and of course, and this is, probably pales a bit, but, about 30 years ago, I was still a disc jockey in Los Angeles, and we were doing an event, and these people, it was the Elvis Presley fan club, came in from, from England. And they wanted to have this big, big event that we had put together for them. It was a lot of fun, and everybody came dressed in, dressed up like Elvis. And I was astounded. But the international impact of Elvis Presley, even to this day, you talk about a brand. I don't think there's any other musical brand that compares to him. Do you?
I don't. And the fact that we have this place to go in Memphis and to go to Graceland and to really see a part of his tangible life. Really says a lot about Priscilla and her family and what they've done to kind of keep that available for people to be able to have something to touch, to see, to make him real. You walk through those front doors of Graceland and suddenly you're in someone's home. And it may have been mythical Graceland to you before, but the minute you walk in, it's a home. He's a real person. And also, too, I think one of the things that's fascinating about Elvis is how much of an American he believed himself to be, how much he loved America. And how much his image is associated with America. You look at what he, wore on purpose, specifically wore the Aloha from Hawaii. He wore the American Eagle jumpsuit because that was a worldwide broadcast. And he wanted to say, I'm an American. This is where I'm from. And in today's society, Elvis at a press conference very famously was asked what his political leanings were. And Elvis said, I'm an entertainer.
Yes.
I get on stage and entertain, man. I'd rather keep those thoughts to myself.
Right.
He had a separation. He knew what his job was, and it was to entertain not 50% of the audience. It was to entertain 100% of the audience.
Exactly. And those are words and caution that should go out loud and clear to the celebrities and entertainers in America today that have gotten caught up in the these politics that's happening in our country. I mean, that's not their place in history. I think, like with anything, Tom, it's like you and Brian coming together to find your part in what you can do for the community and play your important role. It's a key role to that you play, just like for me doing the radio show. I can't go on stage, God forbid. I mean, well, it would be a very small audience, you know. My mom is still alive at 92, so we'd probably have to wheel her in. But, but it's not, that's not my place. Yeah. And for artists, and Elvis clearly understood what his place was and what he's all about. It wasn't about being a Republican or Democrat. Certainly he held to, to some values because of his spiritual upbringing, his mother and father and, what they imparted on him. And I think just some driving forces that he had deep down, even though some would say he was a contradiction in some regards.
Yeah, and I've hosted Elvis Week events in Memphis for the past 15 or so years, and I've met everyone that worked with Elvis. I mean, musicians and actors and family members, and at opportunities, and I've gotten to know a lot of them really well, and at opportunities that they could have told me something in confidence.
Hmm.
Not one of them has had a negative thing to say about it. They talked about, you will never know the amount of money this man gave away. You will never know the things he did for people that truly were anonymous, that he would be watching the news in Denver, Colorado, and see a news story about a family who had been burned out of an apartment, and he would say, give me $10,000 in an envelope and take it to this lady and do not tell her where it came from.
Wow.
And that was for himself. That was not for PR. That was not for, it was for helping someone else.
Exactly. Well, no question, the blessings that he had, he paid forward. I mean, he was blessed and he blessed others. And I hear stories like this all the time, Tom, where he did things anonymously. And, as you say, people will never know. And I got to imagine, you know, as you say that he was alone in some regards, but he had a close group of friends. And I got to imagine that maybe sometimes for them, there is a certain amount of, and I don't want to say guilt necessarily, but, you know, what could they have done, you know, to help him? But, he was, like I said, he was quite, quite an enigma in so many ways.
Yeah,
we've
got a lot of guests that are coming that we're friends with. One of our guests that's coming to Nashville is Jerry Schilling, who was close friends of Elvis's and has amazing things to say about him and as a friend and about how do you save a man from himself?
Yes.
You know, those kind of things. And, you know, words like, intervention, things like that, those were not invented in the 60s and 70s. That didn't exist as a concept. So everyone around, you know, everybody's learning, everybody's only human, and they do what they can. You know, Jerry's one of the guys that went with Elvis to the Nixon White House.
Yeah.
And tells an amazing story about just an American citizen writing a letter to his president saying, I'd love to meet with you if I could, and ends up in this fairy tale day where he kind of ends up in the Oval Office with Nixon.
Exactly.
And Elvis was as amazed by that as anyone. He kind of, what gets me about Elvis is he grew up in Tupelo in Memphis, but he still was a small town boy, and he was
exactly
still American. And
Tom, we only got about 10 seconds. Like, remind everybody where they can go for information, and of course this will take place on March 30th through April the 2nd.
NashvilleElvisFestival.com.
Tom Brown, thank you so much for being with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Lifetime Great.